Hello, I'm Rick Casagrande, and welcome to this, the first podcast on Four Bars Rest Down Under, which covers the 2006 New South Wales Brass Band Championships held last weekend at the Jones Sutherland Performing Arts Centre in Penrith, which is at the foot of the Blue Mountains west of Sydney. During the two-day contest, 26 brass bands attended and competed across open grades A, B, C and D, with five junior bands making up the full complement. The overall winner in A grade was Waratah Brass from Newcastle, who played Peter Graham's Harrison's Dream, which was the set test, and then followed this up some 2.5 hours later with a wonderful performance of St. Magnus. The adjudicator for the contest was Mr. Kevin Jarrett, an icon of New Zealand banding. I spoke with Kevin and various conductors during the contest, along with the contest administrator, Mr. Robert Bedwell. But first, let's listen to some of the winning performance by Waratah Brass. Danny Alexander is the conductor of the Gunnedah Shire Junior A-Grade Band. He is the solo euphonium player with Gunnedah Shire's A-Grade Band, who came within a whisker of winning the 2006 New Zealand title. I spoke with Danny about his band, who I believe could have taught many of the open grade bands this weekend a thing or two about brass playing. Danny, how does it feel?
Rick, it feels fantastic. It really does, to finish today like we did.
And tell me, Danny, how long have you been taking the band?
This is my third contest, so middle of last year I took over the band, and we've done two states now and nationals this year.
And I understand they've all been successful?
All three contests with me have certainly been successful, and even before then.
Danny, how difficult is it to get the young fellas and girls to rehearsal?
Quite challenging, you know, competing against sport every weekend. We have both rehearsals during the weekend on weekends, and you know, to turn up for the whole day on weekends versus going to footy is quite a challenge.
Right, and of course there must be a lot of determination there, given in recent years Gunnedah have been struck by a lot of jealousy from other organisations who, I guess, would really love to play as well as these junior kids did today.
Yeah, Gunnedah has, I guess, a geographical disadvantage in that they're quite, you know, 6 hours northwest of Sydney, and but we've actually turned that around and built a model that, as you can see, works, and we're very proud of it. And I think other bands, you know, if it works and they're not winning, that's why they're a bit jealous. If we weren't winning, they wouldn't be jealous. But it's a successful model, and I hope other bands can actually look at what we do and you know, come along.
What impressed me today was your own choice, the Purcell Variations. It certainly impressed the adjudicator, Mr. Kevin Jarrett, and he was correct. It was a phenomenal job, and from my hearing of the A-grade section last night, I would think that a couple of those bands would be very happy to have played and have the sound and balance that the juniors did today. So I congratulate you and all the best in the future, and good luck to you and the Gunnedah juniors.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Danny. The C and D grades performed set tests of Langford's Sinfonietta and Eric Ball's Indian Summer. Toronto Brass, who won the C grade overall, made a reasonable fist of the Langford test piece, whilst the rest of the field stumbled along the way, and this was reflected in the 4-point gap to second-placed Yaguna Brass, and an 8-point gap to the imaginative but struggling Royal Hifafua Tongan Brass. The C grade own choice test was an absolute turnaround for Blacktown City, which went from second to last in the test to first in the own choice section to achieve an overall third place podium finish. Waratah Brass number 2 was the shining light in D grade under conductor Conrad Curry, who sits in the number 1 chair for the Waratah A grade band. This band came from only having 3 players 2 years ago to upstage the D grade and certainly would have embarrassed most of the C-grade bands with respect to musicianship and attention to detail. The B-grade was won outright by Warringah Concert Brass under the baton of John Saunders. Even though all bands struggle with Loi D, adjudicator Kevin Jarrett praised all the B-grade bands for their efforts. However, he was a little critical of this piece being set for B-grade, and it did show in the performances on the day. Warringah Concert Brass has now won the last three B-grade state contests which it has attended, and certainly made a claim for a passage back into A-grade, where room should be made, given that not all the A-grade bands covered themselves in glory this weekend. Picking a winner in the A-grade was not difficult for the adjudicator to earn his money. Waratah Brass's performance of Harrison's Dream, Anson Magnus, was very solid indeed, and made up for a disappointing fifth place at the Nationals earlier this year. I spoke with Mr. Ron Prussing, the musical director of Waratah Brass, after his band's performance of Harrison's Dream. Ron, quite a vigorous program you set for the band, with Harrison's Dream as the set test and then St. Magnus at the one competition. You must get the boys down to the gym more than twice a week?
No, we only rehearse once a week generally. Of course, we've had extra rehearsals for the state championships. But I think that bands these days, if they don't set big programs for themselves in this sort of music, then when they come to do even lighter music concerts, they tend to just run out of puff. You know, they've really got to develop some stamina to play a concert, especially your cornered end. You know, we've got a live broadcast on the ABC next Sunday, and it's an hour's music. Now, an hour's brass playing is actually a lot of music to play when you're responsible for all the notes, not as in an orchestra where you colour the instruments, you know, or you colour the music.
You've had some time away with the Sydney Youth Orchestra in recent times. Did that anyway hamper the preparation time? Obviously, from what I've heard, not too much.
Well, it would have hampered the preparation time, except I have an excellent musician and conductor in my principal solo, Conrad Curry, and he took responsibility for the band and preparing the pieces while I was away.
Ron, I was impressed with your percussion section. How much do they contribute generally to holding the band together?
I don't think they should have to hold the band together any more than any other section. I remember a very funny incident that happened to me in a group that I was playing in many years ago, and the conductor of this particular orchestra happened to be a percussion player, and he said to the percussionist at the time, who was not playing exactly as he wanted, "You only have to play rhythm, your colleagues have to play rhythm and pitch." So they really should be able to play in time, and that's the mark of a good percussion section.
Middle section of St. Magnus, the soloists played off one another very well. I guess you consider yourself fortunate to have quality anchormen?
Always. You're always looking for good players, and we're fortunate. We've got some very, very good anchormen, as you say, or cornermen, as I call them. And, you know, you just can't play a piece like that. You can't attempt a piece like that unless you've got confidence in the guys who are going to, you know, stand out and play the solo lines.
Well, Ron, I'll let you get back to the hall, and let's hope Waratah's back in the winner's circle today.
Thank you very much.
And now a moment with Andy Snell after the A-grade results, which put his Willoughby band into second place on the podium. I'm now speaking with Mr. Andy Snell, formerly a bass trombone player with the Grimethorpe Colliery Band and a successful conductor in New Zealand with the Waitakere City Band, up to the Northern Territory where it's a million degrees in the shade, and now back to Sydney and taking over the Willoughby Band. Mm. And how have you found it so far?
Look, it's been great, actually. It's been quite tough. The band's been through a pretty rough 18 months, 2 years. When I took over about 9 or 10 months ago, they were finding it hard going. It's been great, though. We've had a lot of good players come back to the band who were former members. We've had some new players join, and we've got a fantastic team. And I've got to be honest and say I'm having absolutely a time of my life working with this band. They're great. They're really good fun.
Yes, and Andy, we noticed a substantial difference from just the recent Nationals in Brisbane to today. The band is coming along at a great rate of knots, and I guess that's got a lot to do with those players coming back.
Absolutely, yeah, they're working really, really hard. I mean, we've had a very busy last 5 or 6 weeks. We've had a concert or a recording or something on every weekend, so actually finding time to rehearse for today has been kind of difficult. And so I'm thrilled with the way the band's played today.
And I guess it'll be the Willoughby name back on the podium, and certainly made sure Eric Ball is still on the winners list.
Oh, definitely. Look, I mean, the adjudicator said it today, just because the piece was written 30, 40 years ago doesn't automatically mean it's out of date and we can't play it in A-grade contest. Journey to Freedom, I mean, the band's played Harrison's Dream today and relatively found it easy in comparison. The music of Eric Ball doesn't require the huge technical demands of a modern test piece, but musically it's very, very difficult. And the band at the moment is in a growing phase. It's a band that doesn't really have a lot of experience there, and as a result, they've never played this kind of music. And I think if they're going to play the modern test pieces, they need to understand where things have come from. They need to understand the basic band repertoire, the Eric Balls, the Gilbert Vinters. We played Cloudcatcher Fells as our own choice for the Nationals, which again, a lot of people said, oh, that's not really an own choice piece. And as it turned out, the adjudicator didn't think so either. But, you know, that's one of those things. The band needs to learn this kind of repertoire in order to be able to really play the modern stuff to, yes, to the correct standard.
Yes. Sydney is where you're going to stay for a while, then?
Absolutely. I've got a great job working for Australian Opera. I'm loving every minute of that. They keep forcing opening night tickets on me to every opera, and, you know, it's really tough spending New Year's Eve at the Sydney Opera House watching the fireworks. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a while before I
Well, Andy, thanks very much for your time. You better get off and have some beers with the boys.
Definitely.
And if any of those opera tickets come your way, you know where I live.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I'm now speaking with the adjudicator for the 2006 New South Wales Band Championships, Mr. Kevin Jarrett from New Zealand. Certainly an icon in brass banding and enjoys every bit of it, I know. Kevin, how have you found the weekend thus far?
Well, very busy. Very busy, but very enjoyable. I heard some wonderful playing.
Well, I guess by the time the 2 days are over, you will have heard 26 or so bands perform a hymn, a test piece, and an own choice selection. So you've certainly had your work cut out for you.
Yes, about, I don't know, about 22 hours of judging or something like that.
Given that an adjudicator's done so much work, it's quite easy to get tired and perhaps a bit stale, yet there hasn't been any question of maybe another band should have won it. It seems that everybody is quite content with the adjudication, which is a very good thing.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy about that, but it doesn't always happen that way. But I think, you know, I don't change my judging style. I'm listening for music as the number one thing, and technique and intonation and all the good, you know, the bands that are trained well will end up on top.
There's a favourite saying, I think, of somebody in Melbourne that says the cream always rises to the top.
Yeah.
And I guess at this contest it's done that. However, I think I first heard you speak at an adjudication probably as early as the late 80s, and I remember you talking about intonation then, and it seems to be the favourite word certainly this weekend. What is it that it's drummed into us so many times and yet bands still refuse to do the work, or apparently appears that they don't do the work that's required to get rid of the intonation?
Well, I think it's the basic thing that young people, especially, get bored with playing long notes and hymn tunes and things like that, but it's got to be done. And you know, you hear the English bands play with extremely good intonation, and I've spoken to Howard Snell about this, and I know that his band plays hymns every night. And there is no magic to playing in tune. It's listening and making sure that you're in tune with the people next to you. It's not just a matter of putting a valve down and saying, well, that's the right note, because invariably it won't be.
It appears you were very impressed with the junior A-grade band that play today, the Gunnedah.
That performance of the Purcell Variations, that was exceptional for the grade. And again there, you see, they didn't have the intonation problems, and it shows that they've been trained by a very good band trainer, and that the kids in the band are being trained by a very good teacher.
Yes.
And it shows out.
Yes, and I think Lawrence Rowe is certainly needs to be commended.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a legend. Even in New Zealand, Lawrence Rowe is a legend as a teacher in this country.
Well, it surprised me today, in fact, that junior band has not lost the contest since that it's ended, since 1996, which is truly a testament to his capabilities.
Absolutely, and young Danny Alexander, of course, obviously has ability as a conductor, as well as being a very fine euphonium player.
Kevin, the A-grade, there was obviously a standout performance. I was really surprised at the degree of difficulty in choosing Harrison's Dream, which turned out to be a nightmare for some. and yet the winning band was able to then back up with such a difficult test piece as St Magnus.
Yes, that's quite a tall order on one day to play those two pieces. However, that band, it just had the ability to do the balance things and to get the band playing together and the intonation things, the muted intonation and things like that. And they also captured the picture of the Harrison's Dream. But in saying that, the other bands all played Harrison's Dream pretty well. I mean, some obviously didn't have the technical ability of the winning band, but I admired the way the conductors got through the score for a start, because it's quite horrendous. But, you know, the St Magnus was very good. I also enjoyed the St Mary's performance of Wits and Wakes, which is a new work to me, and I've done a bit of research on it and listened to it a lot, but that's a very good work. But, you know, the four A-grade bands that you have in the state, and plus, of course, Gunnedah, who are not here, New South Wales is very strong in A-grade bands.
Generally, Australia is pulling up its socks after having followed in the footsteps of New Zealand for so long, and it's good to see the rivalry across the ditch sort of getting a wee bit closer.
Wow,
you
yes.
can only lose so many rugby tests and be happy about your lot.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, since I started to come here in 1981 doing judging, the standard of the Australian A-grade bands has risen immensely, or Australian bands, not just A-grade. And, you know, I've heard in the last 2 years Brisbane Excelsior play fantastically at Adelaide and Brisbane and Christchurch and Dunedin, sorry, and this year a marvellous performance by the Gunnedah Band on a piece called Journey into the Centre of the Earth. And that's one of the finest bits of brass band playing I've heard for a long time.
Well, it's good to hear, Kevin, and your job is nearly over here, and we wish you and your good wife Heather a safe journey home, and thanks for coming.
Well, thank you very much, and when I find my wife, she's been in the shops all week. I've really enjoyed it. I love coming to Australia, whether it's judging or listening or, you know, just talking to bandsmen, and I feel I've got as many friends here as I have in New Zealand, so thank you very much.
Cheers, Kevin. I'm speaking with Mr. Robert Bedwell, President of the Band Association of New South Wales, who has been running the New South Wales 2006 State Senior and Junior Brass Band Championships. Robert, all seems to be running very smoothly for the last 2 days. We're getting close to the end. Has it all been smooth for you?
Oh, yes. Fantastic. Timing's not too bad. We try to be conservative with the timing so that we don't have people hanging around for too long, but it's gone really gone along very smoothly.
Yeah, I have to agree. Been to a lot of band contests where it seems you hurry up and wait, and that's all been very good. And 26 or so bands, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that sort of number about average for the state championship?
Yes, slightly down on what we've had. We tend to run about roughly 30 bands a weekend, with this and the concert band weekend.
Right. And the accommodation or the auditorium, certainly a change from recent past years.
Yes, we've been able to come back here. We were here 93-94 were the last two times we were here with the State Band Championships. The trying to find venue availability at the times we need them has been a problem. We were at a school for the last 3 or 4 years, and while not an ideal venue, it was available and certainly held the people. I work on the principle, though, that whatever the venue, at least it's equal for everybody.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, there's always bands tend to always argue about either the venue or the choice of adjudicator, which we'll talk a bit about later. But the venue certainly is first class, and I commend you on that, and the acoustics certainly first class as well. And all the bands that I've spoken to have certainly appreciated the effort. Of course, there's always that issue of the financial strain of choosing a place like this.
That's right.
And the balance, is it going to work for you in the medium to long term to keep turning up and using facilities as good as the Jane Sutherland Centre?
We work on a basis of we create a budget every year, and we're not a profit organisation, we're a non-profit like all others are, but we also feel we've got an obligation to at least try to break even that's a responsibility to our membership. And so we would have some events that we do throughout the year that might cost us a bit of money, and others we might pick up a bit of a margin, and hopefully across the whole year we at least break even, and we've done better than that in the last 7 years I've been the president anyway.
Well, that's good. At least you're ahead there, which is certainly very important. And I guess one of those costs that attributes greatly to a contest is an adjudicator, or the where he comes from, the number of adjudicators you might use. Certainly one here has gone fairly well, I would have thought, because there doesn't seem to be any despondency about the choice of winners, which is really good. So that's a positive. How do you balance that, though, obviously with some of the more strident comments that were made the other night about the quality of adjudicators? And it's always, an age-old argument, you know, do we get this fellow, that fellow? One of the suggestions, obviously, as they do in the UK, have a small pool of adjudicators that are consistently on the right end, I guess, of the wedge. How does it work for you? How do you see it?
Well, we've considered that. We've looked at it. I've looked at the British model. I've also heard about the problems that I had with the British model, where they don't really give a point structure, but more a placement structure, and ended up where two out of the three adjudicators might place pretty highly and another one placed terribly lowly, that in the end, the better band may not have been the champion band. I know in Adelaide they tried the two adjudicator roles for the Nationals last year, and in talking to the two adjudicators that were involved in that, and Kevin Jarrett was one of those, independent talking to them, when neither had the opportunity to sort of suss out with the other where they were, I interviewed Barry Gottens at one time and said, well, what do you think about this? Oh, it's great. And he said, we're so close, I mean, we're within a point of each other, you know, this is a really great way to do it. And Kevin said similar things when I spoke to him. And then I sat in my hotel room thinking to myself, if they're so close, what's the point? And you know, I mean, one could say, well, it just proves that the one sort of works. It's, you'll never, ever, the losers, some losers will always want to criticise the adjudicator. You know, here we're playing on a timber floor, you know, think someone might want to complain that it wasn't on grass or something, or clay or whatever. I mean, it loses limp. It's a time problem over a long time. Part of it, obviously, would be to have more than one adjudicator as a cost factor, and how much a band is going to be prepared to pay. They pay a lot of money, both at national and state level, to participate in the contest, over and above whatever the fee is. They both buy the music and all, you know, there's a lot of costs involved, moving people from one place to another. So you've got to try and strike a balance.
The state championships for New South Wales invariably are in the Sydney region. How far have bands come from, and are they regularly, do they come that far?
Okay, Armidale's probably our furthest. They've been fairly regular since they've come in. They started coming down about 4, maybe 5 years ago. Nambucca, this is their first time ever. They're a newly registered band. That's a fair hoof to come down the coast to see us. Orange, about 4.5 hours west, excuse me, of Sydney, on the other side of the Dividing Range. Bands will come. I think that if you put on a worthwhile program, like venue, you've got to have the whole kit and caboodle, choose music that they're going to enjoy playing, I think you'll get the bands to turn up.
Well, there's no doubt from my experience here this weekend that it's certainly been a well-chosen and put-together package. Music challenging, auditorium terrific to play in, and very easy to get to accommodation. And I think that that's a great job, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's been a well-run contest. Mr. Robert Bedwell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Immediately following the A-grade results, the musical director of the winning Waratah Brass Band used the podium to certainly speak his mind with respect to using concert band musicians as adjudicators. I spoke again to Ron Prussing and asked him what led him to raise this age-old issue.
And last night, I think we were talking about wishing you luck on the podium, and of course, 24 hours has come and gone, and Waratah was successful in the state champions 2006. How does it feel, Ron?
Oh, it feels very good. The band played extremely well. Most probably, we all thought that we could have done better in certain areas, but you know, it was very consistent. The things that we'd rehearsed, both technically and musically, sort of seemed to work pretty well.
Yes, there's no doubt it was the standout band of the evening, particularly in the own choice. I believe the adjudicator had comments along the lines of, I could have split the bands, put the winning band a lot further ahead, but elected not to do that. But it's good to know that he obviously thought that there was a fairly significant gap between the first and second band.
Well, yeah, I think some of the other bands are in a rebuilding phase, and, you know, they'd be congratulated on the standard that they achieved, and... But we at Waratah, you know, they roll up all the time, and they're a very consistent band, and I think the results show that.
Yeah, that's good. And talking about consistency, there were some comments in your acceptance speech last night that tickled the crowd's fancy a little bit in respect to choice of adjudicators, which is an eternal issue. What were your feelings last night?
Well, my feelings were, very simply put, that last year Waratah Brass came last in the state championships, and I'm not bemoaning the fact that we didn't win, but I certainly don't think that Waratah Brass were that inconsistent that last year they're last and this year they're first. We've had no major revelation, we've had no major influx of players. All the players that were in the band were basically the same as last year. They all come from the Newcastle area, and the band was just more consistent than that, and I think that the level of adjudication has been very variable, both in the nationals and in the states. I particularly spoke my mind with regards to the fact that I think some of the military band or the concert band personnel don't understand either the sound or the style of music of the brass band, and they sometimes hear it differently. I think with respect to them, they most probably hear the attack on the sound a little differently. And if a band, a brass player has good attack, you know, the note's really positive, but wind players have really got to work hard to get that same sort of positive start to the note, especially the single reed instruments like the clarinet and the flute. And so they hear it, and they most probably think that a band most probably is playing with too much attack or too much sforzando in the sound. I'm not sure about that, but you know, it's just a theory that I have. And so I find that some of the concert band people or the adjudicators that are orientated towards concert bands sometimes don't appreciate the technique and the style and the sound of the full brass band.
With the costs associated with running a contest, Ron, there's obviously got to be a balance between finding the right adjudicator and holding a contest to try and make some money or at least break even. Do you believe that that is the case, or do you think that they should go all out to find the best people available for the job?
Well, my first reaction to that, of course, is to go all out and find the best people for the job. I am mindful of the fact that, you know, budgets have to be met, and that implies that we are in fact getting adjudicators of less experience by doing that. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's hard to run to a budget, and you know, we've got good facilities here, so they must have paid for them. I think this is an excellent facility for a band contest. Good acoustic, you know, there are services, you know, like food and drink very close at hand. Plenty of parking, good acoustic for the hall, but we have got a very experienced adjudicator as well, Mr. Kevin Jarrett from New Zealand, you know, a doyen of brass playing in New Zealand, and a very experienced adjudicator indeed. And I think these people are around. I think we've got to search high and low for them, and my advice to the organising committee of any contest is start your search now. You know, I know that the Nationals adjudicator has already been announced, and I hope that the state committee look for the next adjudicator, you know, start looking for the next adjudicator very soon.
Associations in Australia tend to try and vary the adjudicators over long periods of time, so we don't often see an adjudicator who does a really good job come back soon. They seem to want to spread them out a bit. Do you think we should be a little bit more like England, where there is a group of adjudicators that are, I guess, known to be good and continue to use those out of a pool? Would that be a reasonable suggestion?
Yes, I would think so, bearing in mind that, of course, the British brass band scene is very vastly, or it is vast compared to our scene here. But, you know, on a scaled basis, yes, I would think that we should try and use a pool of adjudicators. It seems to me that, and this is only a theory again, it would seem to me that the best adjudicators possibly available in this country are conducting bands. Now, does that mean, though, that if you conduct, say, an A-grade band here in this state, that you can't adjudicate in another state if your band is not competing? I would think that they should start looking at some of the conductors of very good bands to be adjudicators, because they are the guys that really know, and you know that they know what they're talking about by the results that they get with their band. Another thought that I've had about adjudication is in professional music making circles, and I use that word, you know, just as a term of reference for this interview, but in professional music making circles, when you have the great piano competitions and the violin competitions and the singing competitions, they usually have what we call a jury. And a jury sits and discusses things. Now, I've been involved with the Sydney Symphony, with the Sydney International Piano Competition ever since its inception. And every 2 years, that enormous piano competition has a final, and we sit up there on stage and play a whole few concertos. But there's 17 members to 20 members of a jury. And I think that is the way to go, especially in national contests in the A grade. That is, you know, it can be more than, I think it should be more than two, most probably no more than five. But they don't sit in isolation and then just total up their marks, because that system is prone to disaster. It's fraught with danger. There was a case in the Masters a year or two ago where there were three adjudicators who all had a discrete opinion about what it should be. They just added up their marks or their rankings, and you know, one band got two firsts and a 14th, so they were right out of the placings. Now, how can that be? But if those three guys had discussed it and come with one unified mark and one unified decision, I think you would have got a much better decision, and I think that's the way to go.
Ron Prussett, thanks for your thoughts.
Pleasure.
And congratulations on the 2006 championship for New South Wales, and look forward to seeing you at the Nationals in Melbourne next year.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this podcast, and hope that all bandsmen and women who attended the New South Wales 2006 state championships enjoyed themselves. Our thanks must also go to Peter Graham for allowing us to record and use the live recording of Harrison's Dream as part of this podcast. We trust that the ambient sounds were not too distracting for you, and it is our intention to improve each and every time we produce a podcast. This has been Rick Casagrande. Goodbye for now.